Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I just got a great message on the Montana Talks app. By the way, we got phone lines open for you as well. Just got a great message on the Montana Talks app from Bonnie. Bonnie was watching President Trump's address to Congress last night, a joint address to Congress, similar to the State of the Union address. And Bonnie says this: "Hi, Aaron. The Democrats showed their true colors last night. They should be ashamed of themselves. It was so funny when President Trump called out Pocahontas." That was definitely one of my favorite lines of the night as well. If you guys missed President Trump's speech last night, I've got to say it's for sure the best State of the Union style address that I have ever seen. From the people he recognized into the audience. And even the childish theatrics of the Democrats only made the event more entertaining, frankly, from that standpoint. Here you go. This is the line that Bonnie was referring to. President Trump was talking about all of the money spent on the war in Ukraine, all of the lives lost on the war in Ukraine. And he was talking about how now President Zelensky is coming back to the table to talk peace and to talk about a peace deal.
"With no end in sight, the United States has sent hundreds of billions of dollars to support Ukraine's defense with no security, with no anything. Do you want to keep it going for another 5 years? Yeah, you would say Pocahontas says yes.
The funniest thing about that clip was that when Donald Trump referred to Pocahontas says yes, of course, he was referring to Senator Elizabeth Warren, the woman who lied about being Native American, you know, to get some perks at Harvard and more. And, of course, the C-SPAN camera knew right where to turn during that moment. Really, though, the best line of the entire night, though, I saw our friend John Jackson shared this on X as well. I think the best line was when he talked about the illegal immigrant invasion on our southern border.
"The media and our friends in the Democrat Party kept saying we needed new legislation. We must have legislation to secure the border. But it turned out that all we really needed was a new president."
Exactly right. Anyway, I caught up with Montana Senator Steve Daines from Capitol Hill, getting his reaction to the president's address last night, what it was like to be in the room, and very interesting comments from Senator Daines about the mineral deal with Ukraine and who blew up that whole deal before Zelensky showed up at the White House. Very interesting. Wait for it right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here is Montana Senator Steve Daines. I caught up with him earlier this morning talking about what it was like to be in the room during President Trump's speech last night and more.
Aaron, it was so encouraging. I was sitting right behind President Trump's cabinet, so they were all there in front of me. It was Kristi Noem and Pete Hegseth and Bobby Kennedy, and the gang were all literally right in front of me. And I thought, just for a moment, Aaron, I thought, I'm so proud that I got to vote for the confirmation of each one of President Trump's cabinet noms. And in fact, we've off the strongest start in 20 years of getting cabinet nominations through for any president. But it was a great speech. I'll tell you, what a contrast, though, Aaron. I felt like there were two different countries represented. The Republicans standing up. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I must have stood up and applauded and cheered. My knees are sore this morning, up and down, cheering for the president. And then you looked at the Democrats. Aaron, they never stood once, not once. Even when President Trump is talking about the amazing work that's being done with bringing Mark Fogel back from Russia, when they had the young boy with brain cancer, not one Democrat standing up. The only time they had a Democrat stand up is when Congressman Al Green from Texas stood up and basically took the president on and was screaming at him. Eventually had to be removed from the sergeant of arms. But anyway, it was a great night. America is back, and I know so many Americans were encouraged by what he had to say last night.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that Representative Al Green who stood up and was pointing his cane, the get off my lawn Democrat last night, and the lawlessness that he demonstrated was so symbolic of the lawlessness from the Democrats. But the heartlessness was on display last night as well. They wouldn't even stand up for that little boy who survived brain cancer. So many incredible moments.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I guess what struck me, too, Aaron, was what he's done in just 42 days. It feels like Trump's been president again like for 3 years. In 42 days, the border is secured again. The lowest illegal entries into our country ever was in February. And as President Trump said, we didn't need new laws and this and that. We just need a new president to secure the southern border, when he had 21 million under Biden flooding the southern border, and Trump just had this less than 8,000 during the entire month of February. What he's done in unleashing energy production, what he's doing in terms of military recruiting. Think about this, that we have an all-time record, you know, in terms of the Army recruiting. And that's because President Trump standing up and talking about the mission of the military is to be a warfighter, not to be promoting some kind of woke ideology. And so I think the entire spirits of the country were lifted last night. But let me just say this. Those who respect President Trump and admire him love the speech. But those who hate President Trump hated the speech.
That was pretty obvious on display, wasn't it? What were some of the other things that stood out to him, whether it was the president's remarks or you know, things that he saw while sitting in, you know, in the House chamber for the address last night?
Well, I think what he did, what the president did, was first and foremost assure the American people that he's going to be delivering results. Yeah, it was a promises made, promises kept. And typically, Aaron, for a president to have those kind of results would take at least a year in office. But this is 42 days. And what I continually hear back in Washington, and I feel it every day, and the American people feel it, he's moving so fast. It's like a fast break offense in basketball. It's all the time going down the court, full throttle, up and down, up and down. As they say sometimes here in Washington, every hour is like a new day here. Something is happening in terms of the executive orders that are going out, what he's doing of basically restructuring the world order. I mean, America's back, starting with securing our own borders, but then a reset, what's going on, the chance to actually bring peace now to Ukraine, the chance to actually deal with this horrible situation in Gaza and the Palestinians, to bring something that's lasting. And it's just remarkable. I mean, Biden wouldn't be able to find the bathrooms in 42 days, and President Trump is delivering results. Quite remarkable.
Yeah, I've been talking with folks on the radio this week, random callers, but Donald Trump is like that new boss who's coming in saying, hey, what do you guys need? What can we do to make this company better? What do you need to make your job better? And from a Montana's perspective, it's like, hey, let's put the big ask to Donald Trump. Let's make our timber industry great again. Let's make mining in Montana great again. We've got such an incredible historic opportunity right now.
Well, we do, and that starts with the people that President Trump is bringing onto his cabinet. You know, people equals policy. An organization is defined by the strength of the leadership, that drives the culture, it drives the results. Just look no further than some of these very important cabinet positions that affect Montana, like the Secretary of Interior, Doug Burgum, a very close friend of mine. Doug and I talk frequently, and look who he's going to bring on here with Fish and Wildlife Services. He's bringing, he got rid of Tracy Stone Manning, and he's replacing her with the Fish Wildlife Parks person from Wyoming who understands grizzly bears. You take a look with Chris Wright, somebody who has led an American energy company. That's who's running the Department of Energy. Take a look at who the BLM director, this Kathleen Sagama, is going to be running it, replacing Trace Domini on BLM anyway. And that is just, these are people who understand Montana, understand our values, and are going to drive common sense back in these organizations.
Yeah, it's so great to see that, you know, like you mentioned, Kathleen Sagama. These are people we've talked to on this show before because they've been fighting for Western interests, Montana interests, for decades now. And that's the type of people Trump is putting on Team Trump. It's great to see. All right, there's one more back and forth in particular I want to share with you coming up right after the break. And then we've got the phone lines open for you. What did you think about the speech and some of the other antics last night? 294-0970. Montana.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. And by the way, if it doesn't have to just be focused on President Trump's speech last night or the various antics in response to the speech last night, hey, we've got a big deadline this Friday where it is the transmittal deadline for the Montana legislature. So I know there's a number of people who are trying to get some bills across the finish line before that transmittal deadline. So if you got some legislation you want to speak out in support of or in opposition to, there is so much that's happening in Helena this week that you never know the difference your phone call might make in getting a bill across the finish line or stopping a bill from getting across the finish line. So phone lines are open for you. All right, stand by. Tom and Bozeman, we'll get back to you in just a second here. The Ukraine conversation with Senator Steve Daines was actually very interesting. Very interesting. So you guys heard me play the soundbite where President Trump said, oh, do you guys want to have the war go on for another 5 years? You want to keep spending billions of dollars, keep this war going for another 5 years? And President Trump scans the room, and he sees Elizabeth Warren, and, oh, Pocahontas says yes. And the whole crowd just laughs, and she just looked angry as usual, you know. But I asked Senator Daines about that moment in particular, and listen to what he said about this whole mineral deal with Ukraine and how the whole deal sounds like it might be back on once again.
Yeah. Well, President Trump is not afraid to call it like he sees it. I think that's what's refreshing the American people. You know, he's unfiltered, he's unleashed, and he tells it like he sees it. And we can't keep throwing billions of dollars at Ukraine to fight a standoff. The problem with Ukrainians is they're running out of Ukrainians. The war of attrition does not end well for Ukraine. And that is why this mineral deal, and by the way, Aaron, that's something I pitched to President Trump over a year ago. I remember being on a phone call. Lindsey Graham and I got the president on the phone and said, let's think about using critical minerals as collateral right now in terms of the U.S. aid that's going into Ukraine. President Trump liked that idea, and now I think there's optimism again, by the way, from what I heard last night, that Zelensky might be on the verge of signing that deal. And that is that he's got to do that. If we're going to drive peace in Ukraine, the first step is Zelensky's got to agree to what, by the way, what he agreed to already last Friday. You know, he completely changed the goalposts there on Friday in front of the TV cameras. It was an awful moment. Zelensky just had to walk in, sink the free throw, and we had a deal. Instead, he walked up the free throw line, he airballed. And that is that's why there's hope again in Ukraine bringing peace. But Trump called out the Democrats because if they want to throw another $100 billion to Ukraine, it's not going to end the war. The war is going to be ended by President Trump's leadership and strength of bringing both sides to the table, negotiating a settlement, and to stop the slaughter of Russians and Ukrainians going on right now. in that country.
That's right. Only about 30 seconds or so to go here with Senator Steve Daines. I saw Senator Chris Murphy. It sure looked like Senate Democrats were urging Zelensky to keep the war going and not accept the deal. Do you think they kind of goaded him into it?
You know, something changed there, Aaron, because he was all set to sign that deal. He was going to sign it, ink it, and then they're going to have a lunch. I mean, it was all prepared. But the problem, it looks like somebody talked him out of it before he went to that meeting in the Oval Office. And it was a tragic moment. Now, I hope they can recover. It sounds like Zelensky is coming back on the apology tour to President Trump. He needed to show respect. Remember, Zelensky was campaigning for Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania in September.
Yeah.
I was going back and forth to J.D. Vance. We were texting each other this weekend. I said, J.D., I was proud of you, by the way. And I said, how in the world did Zelensky get away with campaigning for Harris?
It was crazy. All right. Yeah. Anyway, great to catch up with Senator Steve Daines on Capitol Hill earlier this morning. But isn't that interesting? Because, Nancy in Roundup, she was telling me earlier that apparently Susan Rice, remember Susan Rice worked for Obama. She ran foreign policy into the ground for Obama. And then Joe Biden put her in charge of not only foreign policy, but of domestic policy as well. And, of course, she ran both of those policies into the ground. But Nancy was saying that apparently Susan Rice had met with Zelensky prior to the blow-up in the White House. So did Susan Rice undermine the president of the United States and tell him to reject the deal. Pretty fascinating insight there. I'm glad that question came up there kind of randomly. All right, let's go to Tom in Bozeman on the phone lines. And we've got lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Tom, what's your thoughts?
I got an article here from Kimberly Strassel in the Wall Street Journal, Why Democrats Are in the Wilderness. She actually says that they're somewhere between the desert and the wilderness, and they just can't seem to get out. There were a few moderates in the Democratic Party who tried to make some changes in their some of their stupid policies, but the left gets so irate and just comes down on them, and they just can't handle that. There's not enough courage, not enough spine in anyone in the Democratic Party now to make any changes to combat and actually forget some of the leftist policies that they've trumped up, and try to get normal again, and try to get them back into where the American people are. So it's they're still in the somewhere between the desert and the wilderness, and just can't seem to get out at all.
Yeah. Well, remember James Carville? Remember James Carville, prominent Clinton advisor? You know, he was on, I forget what program he was on, but he said he thinks there's a plant in the Democrat Party that's forcing them to make all these stupid decisions and support all these stupid policies. And so it was kind of funny because I remember when that news story we played that audio clip on the radio, and right on, John and Bozeman said he came up with an idea for what type of plant the Democrats could be. And so then I had some fun with it, and I went on the AI platform Grok, which is kind of like ChatGPT, but Elon Musk created it for X. And so I said, if Democrats are plants, what kind of plants would they be? And oh man, that was freaking hilarious. In fact, I think I'm gonna use some excerpts from that on Friday night when I speak at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan dinner. I'm gonna share a little bit of that just because it was kind of funny.
Sounds good. Yeah, you bet.
Did you?
They just can't seem to make any moves.
Yeah,
and, they're holding to their position, and I think the American people still don't like that.
So then you had the antics last night, the childish antics, and I saw even one of my more liberal friends on X, on the Montana Politics hashtag, was calling out the Democrats and saying, hey, guys, you're just making, arses of yourself right now, basically. I mean, they had these little palm cards that were like little auctioneer cards, if you want to bid on something in an auction. And they had their stupid little statements on them. And then, of course, I think Laura Ingraham shared this on X. Then people started changing. They photoshopped the little palm cards that the Democrats were holding up, and they put different phrases on them. America last. I love war. I don't know what a woman is.
Yeah.
I steal from taxpayers.
Yeah.
Illegals first.
That's right, and they keep saying those things. Yep, that's right. Yeah. So they're stuck. They're stuck.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, and then we said at the time, we had this conversation at the time. And Tom, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. But we had this conversation on the air at the time. You know, James Carville thinks there's a plant in the Democrat Party. Well, I think we all know who the plant in the Montana Democrat Party is, and his name is Zoe Zephyr. Think about it. Zoe Zephyr is the de facto leader of the Montana Democrat Party, right? He's calling all the shots. That's why every single one of these legislative Democrats has to bow down and kiss the ring of this guy and support this radical transgender agenda. That was the other comical things last night. So you had all these, you know, female Senate Democrats wearing pink pantsuits. Why were they wearing pink pantsuits? Well, earlier in the day, several congressional Democrats held a press conference where they were wearing these pink pantsuits because they wanted to show that they stand up for women and women's rights. The day before, every single Senate Democrat, including these Senate Democrat women who can't tell you what a woman is, voted to allow men in girls' locker rooms, voted to allow men to take away women's sports opportunities. The day before, they literally voted to strip away women's rights and allow men to strip away in the locker room. And yet here they are. Oh, look at us. We're wearing pink because we believe in women's rights. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. Man, it's just crazy. And it's like I was talking with Senator Steve Daines. I mean, not only have they lost their minds, but they don't have a heart either. Or they would have stood up for that little boy who survived brain cancer. Or they would have stood up for Jocelyn Nungery's mom. Or they would have stood up for the sisters and the mother of Lake and Riley. Or they would have stood up for the young man who lost his dad serving as a police officer and he just got admitted into West Point last night. They would have stood up for Mark Fogle, who was thrown in a Russian jail cell for years and finally freed thanks to Donald J. Trump, who had his mom sitting with him, who has a sister back in Missoula, Montana. They couldn't stand up for him. But yet, oh, they've got Ukraine flags in their profile. They care about Ukraine. Oh, give me a break. As we talked yesterday on this show, these leftists gave more money to Russia than they gave to Ukraine because they wanted us to not develop our own energy resources here in America. They wanted us and they wanted the Europeans to be dependent on Russian energy instead of developing American energy. Let's see. We got Ron in Ronan. Oh, Ron, stand by. Ron, you will be first up right after the break. We got to hit the hard break here. I just heard the music fire. So, Ron, stand by. Ron and Ronan coming up right after the break. And we got phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. This is a slightly longer break, so it's a great time for you to call in. Plus, we've actually got phone lines open. I know many times you try to call in, the phones are all full.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, the ag economy's financial state was a key topic in Denver, a commodity classic. In late 2024, Congress approved $10 billion in economic aid and $20 billion in disaster relief for agriculture. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins announced at the classic the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program to distribute the funds, with applications set to open by March 20th. Big Sandy farmer and treasurer of the National Association of Wheat Growers, Nathan Kane, weighed in.
You know, when that rolled out, the $10 billion, it was appropriated, and then it was a 90-day window from when it was put in place towards the end of December to when it should be rolled out. Well, we were waiting for the new secretary to be put in place to be able to actually, you know, head up the department and get this rolled out. Now, listening to her, she thinks in the next, you know, 2-3 weeks, we should be able to see that. As far as prices go, we are looking at, and I can't tell you specifically, it's around a little over $38 range per acre for wheat. I do know for Montana, overall, including all commodities, we're going to average for the state of Montana around $28 per acre. And that's all commodities. But for wheat, it's something around $38.60 or something like that per acre.
And again, that was Big Sandy's Nathan Kane, the treasurer of the National Association of Wheat Growers. From Denver, I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Friday is the transmittal deadline, so that's kind of like halftime for the Montana legislature. There's a lot of bills that if they don't make this Friday's transmittal deadline, then they're dead until the next legislative session 2 years from now. So now is the time to get some of this important stuff across the finish line, or if there's something you don't want to get across the finish line, you never know. It could be rushed through at the last minute here. Let's see. Phone lines are open for you. We also got a message on our Montana Talks app. This came from Hank in Bozeman. Hank in Bozeman is concerned about House Bill 404. Hank says this. He says House Bill 404 would make the Montana National Guard non-deployable. It would remove critical equipment like UH-60s, CH-47s, C-130s, M1A1s, and M2 Bradleys. Title 10 money would dry up like an iceberg in Death Valley. The U.S. has declared war five times. The last time was 84 years ago. We couldn't even get it together after 9/11. This bill would put the Montana National Guard behind 49 other states, two territories, the District of Columbia, and even Greenland when it joins the U.S. Please do not pass this bill. That was from Hank in Bozeman. And that's regarding House Bill 404, which is known as the Defend the Guard Bill. Now, if some of you out there, if you're not familiar with this legislation known as Defend the Guard, I actually did an interview a while back with Liam McCollum. He's a great young man. He's a real libertarian, not one of those phony libertarians that just, you know, tries to help get Democrats elected. But he makes a great case for why House Bill 404, the Defend the Guard bill, should get across the finish line. But as you can hear, Hank, you know, raises concerns that I know the National Guard leadership has as well. Here's my take. Like, the arguments behind something like Defend the Guard and House Bill 404, I think we'd all agree on. Look, we have seen an abuse of power back in Washington, D.C. We've seen these forever wars that need to be reined in. But what I'd like to see is something that applies the Defend the Guard provisions across every state and every territory. Or you don't have, well, one state, we're going to do this, one state, we're going to do that. Let's get legislation that covers the whole country that reins in these forever wars. And I also think that, by and large, I think President Trump's foreign policy team is fixing the problem that we've all seen now over, you know, multiple administrations and things like that. But I'd like to see something like a Defend the Guard, but apply it to the whole country, to every state's National Guard. But I think also to active duty elements as well, because let's be honest, we have seen where Congress should be declaring an official war, and yet they haven't. And that's where we see these forever wars pop up. So anyway, thanks to Hank and Bozeman for that message. Let's go to Ron in Ronan. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Back up a couple days when we were talking about the grant to the University of Montana and what it was all about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that some people might not know is that your friend Zoe Zephyr happens to have a real job down at the University of Montana where she is involved in curriculum selections. And I would venture to say that this wide open grant would probably eventually wind up on her desk, and then we would know perhaps what that money is going to be used for. Who knows what democracy is? That's supposedly the question.
Yeah, okay, so interesting. First off, random question. Why do you call he a she?
I call it an it, actually.
Oh, okay. I mean, I really don't care. It's kind of like, you know, hey, you can call me Betty, but Betty, if you call me, you can call me Al. It's like, you know, whatever name you want me to call you. I just still can't do the pronoun things. Like if I know you're a man, I can't call you she. I can't say her. To me, that is lying. When I see these news outlets like KPAX TV, you know, refer to a she as a he, or a he as a she, or instead of using the term illegal alien, for example, and they say undocumented immigrant, you are lying to your listeners. How can we trust you to be news reporters if you lie to the people, right? So anyway, it's not that big of a deal. It's just my thing. It's like I just can't lie about that sort of thing, right? But yet, look at the media today. They're told, well, the AP style book tells us we have to lie. But let's see. But your broader point here. So Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell, who's a combat veteran, highlighted, what was it, $80 million they believe in wasteful spending. And there was some crazy woke stuff like climate whatever in the African Sahel. But they identified a program at the University of Montana. And I did a write-up. It's on our Montana Talks website right now. Let me make sure I'm getting the program right here. Let's see. Here we go. $6 million to the University of Montana to strengthen American democracy by bridging divides. Now, on the face of it, and even, you know, the info that I got about the program from the University of Montana doesn't sound that bad, right? But I think Sean Parnell's point here is, how is this in the DOD's interest? Of all the things that we need to be spending money on, why would the DOD be spending money on something like that? And so, but some of the other stuff, I mean, holistic DEI transformation and training for the Air Force, $3.5 million for support to DEI groups at the Defense Human Resources Activity, $1.6 million to the University of Florida to study climate hazards in the African Sahel. I mean, yeah, very clearly wasteful spending. But even this stuff, this $6 million UM grant, it seems like, is that really what the DOD needs to be spending their money on?
No, it's not going to be used for anything other than some political pandering on the part of the Democrats here in Montana.
And why is Zoe Zephyr being paid by the taxpayers?
That's a good question. Why is that happening? And I'm sure that there are probably a majority of people out there that don't know that she is employed, or at least was employed, with the University of Montana. And she was her job down there was to be involved with curriculum selection.
Interesting. Yeah, because that's what we want. Some far left-wing activist pushing this transgender agenda, pushing this anti-Semitic, anti-Israel agenda, because he's been a part of that as well. Yeah, that's just what we want. That's just who we want in charge of curriculum for the next generation of Montanans. Hey, thanks for the call, Ron. Great to hear from you. Let's go next. We got Scott in Bozeman. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on?
I was just calling about this whole mass firings of the federal employees thing. And I feel like there's a little misinformation out there about, like, specifically as it relates to my neck of the woods, which is the Forest Service in the Custer-Gallatin Forest Service in Bozeman and Livingston. So my wife was, she ran the trails program out of Livingston, and she was recently let go from her job. And while I'm all about efficiency what they're doing with Doge and everything, this specifically, as it relates to the Custer-Gallatin Forest, it seems like it's not very efficient. And there's a lot of things with our public lands that are going, the maintenance of them that are going to go by the wayside by firing all these people. They just recently fired 15 people from the office of the Custer-Gallatin through Bozeman and Livingston, which is, you know, they maintain the Highlight Canyon, you know, all the trails that everybody loves, like the campgrounds, all the cabins that everybody loves. And now there's only three people left to manage all of that millions of acres of land and all the...
And now some of those people used to be seasonal employees, and then the Biden administration turned them into full-time employees.
Why they were on the probationary status to begin with.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, it sounds like what the federal government is doing now instead is they're saying, hey, let's... Like the National Park Service, I saw they're actually hiring. They're actually hiring more seasonal workers. So it sounds like in some of these instances, what they're doing is they're taking jobs that were always seasonal worker jobs and making them seasonal worker jobs once again. But one thing I've appreciated, though, and I appreciate your phone call, Scott. Yeah, because it's a tough position for anybody to be in, and you never like to see it. But one of the things I appreciate about what the Trump administration is doing is if they're seeing that they need to fine-tune a plan, just like what they demonstrated with the St. Mary's Irrigation Project, they will make changes. They will say, okay, hey, we were going to do this, but no, let's go do that. And so I think they're showing that they're pivoting the workforce to more important areas like fire protection and things like that.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, look, when we look at this federal workforce, there's areas in where the Trump administration is going to hire more people. More seasonal workers at the National Park Service, taking some of these jobs that were seasonal workers to begin with, but during the COVID years, massive amounts of government spent. Take Missoula, Montana, for example. What did the Missoula schools do so poorly at the last few years in particular? Well, A, they embraced all the mask mandates and all the school shutdowns and lockdowns. So you have this massive injection of federal money, our taxpayer dollars. That's why we're $36 trillion in debt right now. And that's why President Trump inherited a $2 trillion deficit from Joe Biden. What did the Missoula schools do with the one-time money? Most of the schools across Montana, their school boards and folks made the right decision. They said, hey, this is one-time money. Let's use this for one-time things. The Missoula school said, oh, let's go hire all these people, create all these full-time positions. And then what happened in Missoula? Then all of a sudden they ran out of the one-time money and they told the people of Missoula, all right, we got to fire 100 people. Either pay us a bunch more money and increase property taxes or we're going to fire 100 people. And that's basically what Joe Biden, too, turned all these seasonal jobs into full-time jobs. And added to the deficit and added to the debt and said, oh, yeah, we'll force them to have to shake the taxpayers down for more money. And what the Trump administration is looking at right now is saying, okay, do we need federal workers doing this? Or do we need more air traffic controllers? Because we're short 3,600 air traffic controllers because, see, Pete Buttigieg didn't want you white guys being air traffic controllers. So he had to push you out and keep you out. And try to DEI up the air traffic controllers. And so they're short 3,600 air traffic controllers. So needless to say, they're hiring. Senator Tim Sheehy says, hey, why do we have actual firefighters, our wildland firefighters, why do we have them working as seasonal workers when we need them year-round? When they should be taken care of year-round for the sacrifice they do, especially during the heart of the world. Why are they seasonal workers, and yet these other people got turned into full-time workers? So I think that's an area where they're going to say, hey, let's pivot our resources to that instead of some of these other things. But, yeah, let's go to Chris in Columbia Falls next on the phone lines. Chris, what's going on?
Yeah, when you think about the mindset, the ones that they're hiring now, and back in the 90s when this all started, you know, fighting with the judges and turning the Forest Service. And it's nice to hear that Trump wants to go into the forest now and start to cut. But will you change the mindset of these people that have been in there that have caused this havoc? In the book, you know, Government Ways to A to Z, he writes, is the money being legitimately spent, or is it being squandered by agents instead of benefiting the American people? See, now, where have you heard that lately? I mean, it's been going on since the 90s. Do you really believe that we're going to rectify some of this stuff without changing the mindset of these people that have been in there destroying this kind of thing? You've got the gates still locked. That's still my beef. You've got the gates still locked. And we, as the Forest Service, were selling receipts because of the logging. And then they didn't charge them for the roads being built. They gave it to them. No wonder the Forest Service went backwards and they were in such a, you know, foul situation. So the Forest Service had wasted these receipts instead of charging them. So when you look at all of the poor things that the Forest Service has done, unless you change that mindset, you're going to go right back into it again.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the Forest Service used to make money for we the people. Because we had a Forest Service that believed in multiple use. That's what Teddy Roosevelt envisioned. But what we've seen since the Clinton 1990s and thanks to left-wing judges like Don Malloy in Missoula is they have shut down our timber industry. They have attacked our timber industry. And they have propped up the radical environmental groups that have had Forest Service employees spending more time and resources shutting down trails and shutting down roads and shutting down we the people then building access and increasing access. And so if we revitalize our timber industry, hey, that'll also bring in more revenue so that we can have things like trail maintenance and all these other things. And so, yeah, I think we're going to finally start to see a fundamental shift in the way we treat these federal land management agencies that have been so mismanaging things for so long now. And instead of just this back and forth boomerang effect, the Chevron decision at the United States Supreme Court gives us the ability to finally say, no, these agencies don't just get to shut things down just because they want to. They don't get to just go shut down Colstrip because they want to. If Congress didn't authorize it, they don't get to do it. We had a caller. I know we're already out of time. Crazy. We had a caller call in. Hey, what is the tip line for ICE? Okay, go to MontanaTalks.com or just search Montana Talks ICE tip line. It should pull up very quickly for you because I got a story on our Montana Talks website. But if you guys haven't seen it, 17 illegal aliens were busted on a job site in Big Fork, Montana. I broke the news on our Montana Talks website yesterday afternoon. But yeah, ICE, they have a tip line where you can submit tips if there's illegal aliens still in Montana.
Hey.